Hi, welcome to The Lonely Triathlete. I am The Lonely Triathlete, Todd Sauter. You know, there's a phrase or phrases I've heard very often in my life that go something like this. You've got to face your challenges and overcome those obstacles or remove those obstacles. And I was on my run the other day thinking to myself, what does it really mean to overcome obstacles? Right? Can one ever truly overcome all obstacles, some obstacles? Is it even helpful to think about it in terms of defeating an obstacle or winning against an obstacle? I mean, what if that particular obstacle never goes away? Are you always trying to overcome it? Doesn't it sound tiring and defeating to constantly face something that never goes away? Well, I faced one of the biggest challenges and obstacles of my life at 49 years old. It was 3 years ago in December of 2017, and I woke up for work on a Monday morning after having a very vivid dream of my face, one side of my face twitching like crazy. And I woke up and I thought, man, that was such a crazy dream, like my face was twitching. And on the way walking to work, my partner said to me, hey, Todd, there's something kind of different or strange about your face. And I said, that's funny you said that, because I had this dream this morning that it was twitching. What's wrong with it? She goes, I don't know, but there's something kind of different about it. Well, I thought nothing more of it. I went to work. And all during that morning, I started to feel, yeah, there's something going on with the one side of my face. Like it wasn't responding the same as the other side. And it seemed like I blinked slower in that eye. So I went to the bathroom and I looked in the mirror and I blinked. And it was like, whoa, yeah, my one eye is blinking slower. Huh. So I kept working. I checked myself in the mirror every half an hour or so. And it started to look like my face was drooping on the one side. So I Googled, you know, face drooping, this, that, and I got Bell's palsy as a, like the most popular search result. You have Bell's palsy. So I thought, I must have some sort of Bell's palsy. I guess it goes away all on its own. Don't have to worry about it. And that evening, I'm in an appointment with a doctor because I wanted a professional opinion, obviously. So I went into the office and he said, right away, within 30 seconds of seeing me, he said, I know what you have. It's Bell's palsy, which I already figured I had because I'd already Googled it. But anyway, he explained what it was and nothing I can do. It'll go away all on its own. Okay, fine. And he gave me something for it. Oh yeah, he gave me a prescription for, I think, some sort of steroid. Can't remember what he gave me, but it was a prescription. And I Googled the prescription when I got home, and it didn't seem like the dosage that he gave me was as much as it should be, according to everything I was reading online. So I made an appointment with a different doctor for the next day. Now, by this point, I was getting different symptoms. So my face was absolutely drooping on the one side, and my right ear was going kind of deaf, and my lower left leg was becoming numb. So it was like more than just my face drooping. So I went to the second doctor and I explained what I'd been diagnosed with, and that I thought the medication was not the right dosage. And he looked it up and said, yeah, you're right, it should be double that dosage. And then I said, by the way, I'm becoming deaf in this ear and my leg is going numb. And he just shrugged his shoulders and said, I don't know, but you definitely have Bell's palsy. So, okay, two doctors tell me I have Bell's palsy. So I make an appointment with my family doctor. And I saw him 4 days later. Now, by the time I saw my family doctor, I was 100% deaf in the ear on the drooping side. And my lower left leg on the other side of my body was like pins and needles, like really, really numb. So I went in and saw my family doctor. And within seconds of him seeing me, he said, just hang on right there for a second. He came back and he said, I don't think you have Bell's palsy. The symptoms similar, but no, there's other stuff going on. So I need you to see an ear, nose, and throat specialist right away. So that day I went to an EMT and ENT, sorry. And he did the scope up my nose and down my throat and examined me and said, I can't see anything physically wrong with you, Todd, but have you had a brain scan? As a matter of fact, no, I haven't, I said. He said, well, you should go get a brain scan. Don't wait for it. Like if I prescribe it to you, it's going to take them 2 weeks to give it to you. So go to the emergency room. I'm going to write a note out for them. And it's going to explain what I've done and what my prognosis is or what I think needs to have happen in terms of diagnostics. And you definitely need a brain scan just to see what's going on in there because I can't see anything wrong with you physically. Okay, so I went to emergency. And luckily, I have a friend in emergency. He actually was the chief physician who started up this new emergency ward in my city. And he said, oh, I'll meet you there and make sure you get your brain scan. Meanwhile, I was seen by an attending physician. And he said, what are your symptoms? I said, I'm really dizzy and I can't move my face and I can't blink my eye and I'm deaf in this ear and my leg is numb. And he said, okay, well, walk up and down the hall for me. So I walked up and down the hall and I think I was getting pretty good at compensating because I don't think I looked all that dizzy. In fact, he said to my partner, like, he doesn't seem dizzy to me. And then he again asked me, why are you here again? I said, because I have a drooping face. I've become deaf in an ear. My leg is numb. I'm very dizzy. He said, well, you didn't look dizzy to me. I said, well, I'm faking it then. I'm masking it somehow. And he just wasn't going to do anything for me. And then my partner points over my shoulder to the blood pressure machine that I was hooked up to. And she said, his blood pressure is 195 over 110. Like, isn't that a problem? And the guy literally shrugged his shoulders and said, we don't concern ourselves with that. Which to me is crazy because I don't think those machines go past like 210. Then my hero comes into the room, my physician friend. And he says, have you got your brain scan yet? I said, I don't think they think there's anything wrong with me. He said, well, that's crazy. There's clearly something wrong with you. So one thing led to another. That guy got fired. I mean, not fired, taken off my case. Hope he got fired because that was pure incompetence as far as I'm concerned. But long story short, I got in for my brain scans and they said, wait in this waiting room while we look at your film. And I'm with like 30 other people who are like sicker than sick. And no privacy in this room. It's like one big party room. And then they go, you know, Todd Sauter, come walk over here. Right in the middle of everybody, like 30 people standing around staring at my brain scan. And they said, so this is where the mass is? You have a mass in your head, and here's where it's been growing. And, you know, tumors like this are often, tumors in the brain are often secondary tumors to a primary tumor that's elsewhere in your body. And I thought, did they just say I had a tumor in my brain and it's probably not the only one? Hello? So now I'm going to fast forward. I'm in the hospital for a week. They're checking everything out. I got an MRI. I got multiple CAT scans, tests of this nature and that nature. And they finally came to the conclusion, thanks to the MRI, that I did not have a tumor, but I did have a bleed in my brain. And that mass that they saw was actually blood. And they needed to suck it out before it started squishing more of my nerves, which was causing my deafness, causing the facial nerves of my face to paralyze, and causing the nerve in my leg to go numb. Or causing my leg to go numb because it was squishing a nerve that runs down my leg. And 12 days later, I had brain surgery. They sucked out the stuff that was in my head. It was caused by what they call a cavernous angioma, which is a rare malformation of a blood vessel. And First of all, they're rare in the first place. And the fact that this one bled is even rarer still. They think it's genetic. There's no reason. They don't understand what causes these things. But yeah, I won the genetic lottery on that one. And so I left hospital. A former triathlete who is now racked with dizziness, weakness, obviously from the surgery. My face was a nightmare. Like, I have no control over one half of my face. I couldn't drink from a bottle. It was like, it was crazy. So I had this, you know, this real challenge in front of me and with obstacles. And the very first challenge I had was my recovery, right? How was I going to recover well and well enough that I can train and race again? That was my goal. So I found what worked for me was having a very regular sleep schedule, good nutrition. I implemented a mid-afternoon nap and really doubled down on my meditation practice of 20 to 30 minutes a day. And all of that was reinforced by my hospital stay. So I got a lot of time to sit there and think about how I was going to recover well. But so that's the challenge I was facing. But what about these obstacles? People say you've got to overcome obstacles. Well, the obstacles I faced were fear. Was I going to recover? Doubt. What happens if I don't recover fully? Will I ever be normal again? And can I ever have fun in my life again pursuing athletics? And also impatience. That was a big one because I don't like to wait around for stuff. And I knew that this might be a bit of a long haul. So my recovery was very important. So when I got back home, I implemented my plan of regular sleep, good nutrition, mid-afternoon nap, and meditation. Then my next challenge was how I was going to resume training. I could barely walk. I walked 15 minutes and I was exhausted. So I treated my training much like I would treat any other kind of training plan. Start from where you are. And where I was, walking 15 minutes was max. So I gave myself a schedule. I was going to walk 15 minutes a day, first week. Second week, I was going to push it to 20. And then third week, I was going to push it to 25. You know, and take it from there, one step at a time, one step at a time. So the obstacles in this challenge of returning to training were very similar to in my recovery. One is fear. Will I ever be able to run again with this dizziness? Doubt. What if I can't do it? What if I can never swim, bike, run again? That would just, I can't even think about how awful that would be. And then even an obstacle of lethargy. There's a part of you that says, you know what? Aren't you tired of working out all the time? Aren't you tired of pursuing your athletic goals? Why don't you just like take it easy? So I wasn't going to do that. So I wrote down my plan and I started from zero and I began by testing my fitness on the bike with a functional threshold power test. If you don't know what that is, I just tested my fitness and it was terrible. And then I created the training schedule, a very consistent one, where just like the walking 15, 20, 25 minutes, I would cycle 10 minutes. Then I would cycle 12 minutes. Then I would cycle 15 minutes and so on and so forth. And slowly over time, my dizziness started to go away. I started to be able to run for 10 minutes. I started to be able to run for 20 minutes. And I'm not talking fast, but I would run and I would bike. And months later, I started to swim again. And again, without getting into all of the details, multiple obstacles of swimming because I couldn't control half my face. I couldn't really breathe on my right side without sucking in the pool water. So I had all sorts of new skills to learn in the pool as I came back from this this brain surgery. So then finally, the next challenge, once I got my training established, was can I race again? How will I feel? Will I have my confidence back? Can I A, have fun? That was the number one goal. And B, how well can I do? Understanding, yeah, I'm kind of starting from zero. And what do you know, if 8 months after my surgery, I raced again and tied my personal best ever in 20 years of racing, or 18 years of racing at that point, tied my personal best after brain surgery. So here's an instance where I didn't overcome anything. I didn't remove obstacles. Rather, I embraced them and I faced them and I planned for them. So what I propose, and this is what I've learned, is that we don't try to overcome or remove obstacles. Some may be removable, but it's better to think in terms of moving through them or with them or around them or continuing forward in your goals in spite of the obstacles that are in your way. Right? If climbing Mount Everest weren't a challenge with lots of hard obstacles to work through, it wouldn't be very satisfying to complete at all. So here's my challenge for you. See what I just did there? So my challenge for you is to sit down for 10, 15 minutes with a pen and paper and write down what challenges you are facing in your life. What are the obstacles? What's your plan for facing and addressing and achieving the goals of a challenge that you have before you by moving under, over, or through the obstacles that are in your way? So I learned something in the hospital, which is taking the time to write down your thoughts, your ideas, defining the challenge and the obstacles in your life really helps you create a plan. I'm not the type of guy who really likes planning things out. I like to go with intuition, gut feeling, seat of my pants. But that time in the hospital really afforded me the opportunity to reflect upon how valuable it is to just take some time to write down and map out where you are, where you want to go, and what you see is in your way. And then when you can more clearly see these things, you can create a strategy and a plan for moving through them, around them, over them, under them, smashing through, right? And achieving the goals that you want to achieve in your life. So those are my thoughts for my latest run. It really worked for me, everyone. I hope it works for you. Give it a shot. In the meantime, and until next time, have a great day.